Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by international best-selling author Hemant Sunim, telling us what to do when things don't go your way.
When we are, you know, very young and have a first love, and the first love did not work out, we feel as though this is the end of the world. However, we learn that is not the case. We move on. We find some other people. So we begin to see that when things don't go your way, maybe it's not the end.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
It's only a matter of time. It's coming. Cork supporters, let me tell you, it's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to happen within the next few years. I'm convinced of it. I think Cork are going to win Lee McCarthy in the next 2 years.
Hello and welcome to the Troy and Hurling Show with me, Michael Verney. And this week I'm joined by Waterford legend John Milan to look back on a crazy weekend of hurling action. John, have you caught your breath yet? What a weekend. What, like Saturday evening in Croke Park, the McDonough final. I know you were there. Didn't think we could get much more drama. And then yesterday in Leinster and yesterday in Munster produced it. A crazy weekend.
Epic. That's why we love the game so much. Just championships that just keeps on giving and giving. And probably the best is still yet to come. But I was there Saturday evening. I suppose we kick it off with that awfully in Carlow. I mean, what an advert for the Joe McDonagh Cup final. The old grand scheme of things, possibly Carlow are probably marginally the better side, but great credit has to go to both sides. You know, went at it hammer and tongs. And one thing I would say is the great credit has to go to the supporters of both Carlow and Offaly. It generated some noise. You know,
felt like there was 50,000 there, didn't it?
Oh, very. It was incredible. What I love is that Ufalia, when that Ufalia roar goes up around, Jesus, it will put hairs on the back on the back of your neck. It's probably one of those roars that it's really magical within the GAA. And you know, some great performances from both sides, from both Offaly and Carlow on the day. And yeah, I suppose Offaly will reflect. When they go and reflect on the match, probably had an awful lot of wides. I think they went into the early 20s. And look, Carlow are probably more efficient in their scoring. And probably that was probably the difference in the end when the result came through in the end, you know.
It was some advertisement for second tier hurling, John, wasn't it? Like, you know, it was back and forth, massive scoring, some great scores from out the pitch. Sending offs, awfully battling with 14 till full time. You think Carlow are out on their feet going into extra time and used all their guile and experience, but what an advertisement it was.
Yeah, and look, I suppose with probably 10 minutes on the clock, left on the clock, you were kind of saying, look, I think it was Paddy Boland got the point to push Carlow out, push the margin out to 5 points. And Carlow were just keeping awfully at arm's length. And I suppose after such a shaky start from Offaly, you know, Carlow had only one thing on their mind, and that was to go in and try and create goal-scoring opportunities. And, you know, they had an awful lot of joy, but, you know, the keeper was excellent for Offaly. And then, you know, Johnny Kelly elected to put Adrian Cleary back in the pocket. So he kind of sat back in the pocket and, you know, they kind of weathered the storm, got themselves back into the match, and then, you know, came the double blow, the sending off and the penalty. You know, Thomas Welsh, I thought he had a good game, but for me, I thought he was very, very unlucky to get sent off. For me, I would have leaned towards the defender, I would have given him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, great credit to Offaly. They didn't throw in the towel, showed an awful lot of resilience, great character. And that's what they've been doing in this competition to date, you know, coming with a big second half. And then, you know, as you touched on, you know, when it went extra time, even there was a bit of a schmozzle going in under the tunnel at half time, and at full time, and I said, so there's only going to be one winner here. Offaly looked like they were going to push on. You know, they were getting the kick off the bench. The substitutions were very valuable to Offaly on the night. And you were just wondering, were Carlo running out of steam? But, you know, great credit to the Carlo management, Tom Mullally. They found a way, in coming back and, you know, slowing up the match, winning a couple of frees, breaking up the play. And their big players came to the fore, Miles Kavanagh, Chris Nolan. I thought John Nolan was excellent, wing forward. Touched on Paddy Bowen. You know, what was very hard to kind of keep an eye on was out of the 9 starting players for Carlo, starting 15, 9 of them were wearing white helmets. And they were all kind of similar kind of stature players. So it was from a commentary point of view, it was kind of, you know, it's hard to kind of pinpoint who was nearly on the ball. But yeah, we managed it well. But yeah, look, it was an unbelievable game. And as you touched on, a great advert. And look, it set up the weekend, you know, perfectly for what was to follow on the Sunday, you know. And we just had a magical Sunday as well.
Yeah, just the last couple of notes in the McDonagh Cup. Tom Mullally has an unbelievable record at club level with Glenmore, Mount Leinster Rangers, Clara, Naas, just to name but a few. But this is kind of ticked off a big one off his managerial bucket list at county level, I would say. And just you mentioned a couple of players there. Chris Nolan came up with the goods with that winning score. But Carlo's aerial ability, there was a real Kilkenny-ness to the way Carlo played, their aerial ability. They ate awfully in the air. And I think that was a team, Mull, across the weekend, was aerial ability. And even, we'll just look at the Gaelic grounds yesterday. What was the difference really between Limerick and Cork at different stages? Probably Limerick's half-back line under the dropping ball, and maybe Aaron Galland under the dropping ball as well. But on Limerick, like, what a bunch of warriors that just refused to take no for an answer and just keep coming back for more and more.
Ah, Verney, look, we touched on it last week. And you know what's incredible? Like, you know, as you touched on, they keep coming back for more and more and more. And you think of the punishment that is being thrown at them week on week. And we touched on it last week, you know, water through the kitchen sink at them, Clare through the kitchen sink at them, Tipperary through the kitchen sink at them. And we said yesterday that Cork would do likewise. And that's what Cork did. They threw everything at Limerick. And we always acknowledge, you know, the teams that throw the kitchen sink at Limerick. But we're probably not giving this Limerick outfit, or, you know, this Limerick machine, this once in a lifetime team, enough credit for what has been thrown at them week on week. And again, yesterday they stood up when they needed the men came to the fore. Your Will O'Donoghue's, your Garrod Hegarty's, your Dermot Burns, your Kyle Hayes, you know, Seamus Flanagan's, Galan, you know, then you had the impact off the bench. And they remind me a small bit of Argentina in the World Cup, where after such a slow start, where, you know, nearly every game for Argentina in the World Cup and likewise for Limerick was nearly seen as a knockout game. And it's nearly where, right, they know now they're secure that they're going to be in the All-Ireland Series. And it's kind of like now that, you know, I think it was Argentina played Australia in the last 16, where they kind of had that kind of, you know, well, you know, we can kind of a small bit relax now, and, you know, we're battle hardened going into the knockout phase. We can look forward to the Munster final, and the best is yet to come. Because as I said to you last week, this team are a Crow Power team. When they get into Crow Power, I think they're going to come alive even more. And what a big plus from yesterday was Garrod Hegarty getting back on form. We don't know what's up with Keane Lynch. Very strange that he was left on the bench till the 67th minute. We're only surmising that possibly to deal with an injury. So look, at least, and I still think he'll come good. You know, you don't become a two-time hurler of the year and, you know, you can just totally dismiss him. I think he will come good. And, you know, if he has, you know, a good spell, I'm not saying he has to go out and play well for 70-odd minutes. All Keane Lynch needs is, you know, to get on ball, get a couple of scores, be creative, as we all know he is. All he needs is one good quarter and he's back. I mean, when he came on yesterday, you know, he looked a bit busy, got himself on a bit of ball. But I came home from Torres yesterday to watch that game on TV. My God, it was just an incredible game, an incredible atmosphere. You know, that was generated in the Gaelic grounds. And for Cork, you know, you've really got to feel sorry for him, you know, to put so much into this Munster Championship. You know, to beat Waterford in the manner in which they did. We're involved in three classics. Drew with Tipperary, came up short against Clare by a point, came up short yesterday, a point against Limerick. You know, both Munster finalists. And there they are, they're going out of the Championship come the end of May. You know, that's thoroughly disappointing. But, you know, an awful lot that you can take, if you're a Cork supporter, that you can take from this year. And Verney, it's only a matter of time. It's coming. Cork supporters, let me tell you, it's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to happen within the next 2 years. I'm convinced of it. I think Cork are going to win Liam McCarthy in the next 2 years. I honestly do believe that. I think they're coming. I like what they're doing. You know, they have the backup now at the under-20s. I like what Pat Ryan is doing. And he's after building a bit of steel into this team. And we touched on it during the course of the league. You know, there was one or two games where the Cork forwards, you know, weren't willing to work, weren't willing to roll up the sleeves, graft when they didn't have the ball. By God, the last two games, and most importantly, yesterday against the champions, when they didn't have the ball, you've seen that high work ethic, you've seen that, you know, appetite for hardship, you've seen that appetite for work rate, you've seen that appetite for turnovers. And that's ultimately what Cork have to keep building on. And even from Pat Ryan, his management team, I would say now this is a great opportunity to. I wouldn't leave them back to their club. I'd leave them back to their clubs. But what I would do now is I'd see it as a great opportunity now to maybe one night a week, give them 2 weeks off, but one night a week, you know, keep the gym work up, keep getting stronger. And I think it's going to happen. I think that famine is going to come to an end shortly.
They definitely lost with a hell of a lot of credit. And as you say, they won one game by 9. They drew an epic. They lost two epics by 1. You know, it's very, very narrow margins. As you said, maybe it's a case of where the fourth place team should be involved in some sort of playoff or get another chance. That's probably for another day. Just lastly, on Limerick, are they timing their run to perfection here, Mull? If they win 3 games, they're 5 in a row Munster winners and 4 in a row All-Ireland winners. It's amazing. The question marks were all there in the last couple of weeks. But they played some really good stuff yesterday. Probably the best of what they've played so far in this year's Munster Championship. And, you know, they're going to be favourites going into the Munster final. And they're going to be, you know, heavy favourites to win the All-Ireland from here on in as well.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know if you could say that their time and their run. I think the main objective for Limerick and for Kiley and Connacht yesterday was just to get into the All-Ireland Series. You know, and probably, you know, if they got into the All-Ireland Series, you know, it probably would have been a quarter final. But, you know, this is going to be another, you know, gigantic, you know, colossal battle that they're going to face again in 2 weeks' time. And, you know, if you're Brian Lone, you're clear looking on, you know, After last year, you're saying, oh my God, do we have to go again and, you know, go at these lads again for a second time?
It's the last thing they wanted, Mull, realistically. Yeah. Realistically.
I think so. It takes so much out of you. Honest to God, you've no idea. And look, the constant, you break down the championship, the constant is, right, Waterford threw the kitchen sink at Limerick, right? They weren't able to wag against Cork the following week. Clare threw the kitchen sink at Limerick. The following week in the first half against Waterford, they were absolutely, they were stuck to the ground and only for the sending off, you know, probably played into their hands in gathering up those 2 points on the night. Last week, Tipperary, through the mother of all battles to Limerick last week, and yesterday, Tip were so flat. They were like they were a polar opposite of what we've seen the previous week against Limerick. So the constant is, if you have to go out 7 days later or, you know, 7 days later or a week later, or even possibly 2 weeks later, you know, after a titanic battle against Limerick, you know, the warning signs are there that you mightn't be at a full tank or be able to go fully at it. And that will be the worry for Brian Lone going into this match, that it's going to take an enormous effort to overcome this Limerick team. And how much more, as I touched on last week, Limerick boys, they're only human as well. Like that's going to be five battles now, titanic battles that they're going to face before they go into the All-Ireland series. So, yeah, in regards to time and their own, I think the losers, the winners, this is going to be a massive, massive game for either Limerick or Clare. And the reason I say that, I think it's going to be a massive game because I think the winners will be in a strong position, but I think the losers of that match, you know, you're facing another three battles to go out to push on and win Lee McCarthy after five titanic battles in Munster. It's a big, big ask, Fernie.
It'd be one of the best won Munster championships of all time. And with the silverware is obviously enough, but the carrot of having that extra couple of weeks is absolutely massive. You mentioned about being in Semple Stadium. Have you ever seen anything like, you know, trying to listen to what's going on in the Gaelic grounds while, oh, geez, at half-time, Tipperary are out of the championship? It was bananas.
Well, Fernie, the coverage, the mobile phone coverage in Torres, wherever I was sitting now, I couldn't get the radio one up, so I didn't even know what the scoreline was in. I got the half-time results, and then I was coming out in the field, and then the scoreline came out over the announcer. The announcer came out with the score, and he read the scoreline of Limerick scored 325 to 130. He announced that for us, and I said, Jesus, Limerick are definitely after winning by 7 or 8 points. And then he went 131 Cork, and I was kind of like, holy fuck. I said, Jesus Christ, is this a draw or what? And he said, that's a 1 point win for Limerick. And you could hear all the kind of, you know, the groans around the place. But I didn't realise that at the time, I suppose, that a draw would have knocked Tipperary out of the championship. So Tipperary, am I right in saying Tipperary had to come within 4 points of Waterford?
Yeah.
So,
and they were going for goals at the end, and I was kind of thinking, geez, lads, put the ball over the bar here. But it's funny you say that about the announcement over the tannoy, because I was looking at John McGrath because I knew that they didn't know the result. And he didn't immediately react with happiness. So he obviously heard the same thing as you did. And then there was a big roar when it was Limerick have won and basically Tipperary are true. But it just fed into a crazy afternoon.
Yeah, look. Geez, I was there before. I went over to the dome for a couple of points before the match. And I watched the Dublin Galway game before. And I said to myself, in the Bull Field, and we're in there, and another mate of mine, Murt Doyle, we were having a couple of pints, and I'd say if we were three of 10 Waterford people in the dome, it was just full of Tipperary people. And I think Tipperary, the fans in general, were thinking that, well, I was talking to one Tipperary fan, and he said, geez, I'm a small bit worried about today. And I said to him, like I said, on the pod last week, I said, well, a lot will depend on what last Sunday took out of this team. And that was evident yesterday. And because I said to him, I said, you have to remember, I said, you're going to be coming up against a fresh water team who haven't played for the best part of, you know, they had a nice break, two, three week gap. So they were fresh coming into it. But I just got that kind of feeling amongst the Tipperary supporters that, you know, they were out for the day out. They were kind of just, you know, it was just a turn up job. We'll get the job done and we'll rock on to the Munster final. And even during the week when I was hearing all the talk of, you know, where's the Munster final between Tipperary and Clare going to be on? Is it going to be on in Limerick? Is it going to be on in Cork? And I say in my own mind, like, it's dangerous talk to be putting out there. And, you know, that can definitely seep into players. And you could see from the moment the ball was thrown in that Tipperary, they just weren't at it. They just weren't.
It was blatantly obvious, wasn't it? I'm just going through, like, the, you know, the real energy players: Conor Stakelam, Alan Tynan, Dan McCormack, Seamus Kennedy, Bonner Maher, the lads that bring the energy every day. You could just see that they were nearly legless or punch struck nearly before the game started. Even
it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there, and it was kind of a case of, like, the Tipperary supporters, you know, were doing everything to try and get behind their team. You know, the roars of tip went up, and, you know, but it just, the energy, the legs, the physicality, the mentality of what you've seen the previous week, it just wasn't there. Like, the tackles, they stood off water. Like, and I think Liam Cattle even touched on it in the aftermath that, you know, hindsight is a great thing, that they probably should have pushed up on the Waterford sweeper. Like you go back to Waterford's games, you know, the three games when Limerick, Clare and Cork, when they pushed up on Waterford struggled on their own puck out to win any aerial ball. And Tipperary, they probably made a monumental mistake yesterday, is that they allowed Waterford to have the puck out. They allowed Billy Nolan, Mark Fitzgerald. So they allowed Waterford to come out with the ball, which definitely helped Waterford yesterday in getting the head up and be able to pick out passes. And we're able to pick out passes at their ease. But you know what? Great credit has to go to these Waterford players. And look, credit has to go to Davey as well, I suppose.
Big time,
we've probably been mellow in regards to our criticism in regards to other platforms. But, you know, credit has to go to him. Like, his head was on the block yesterday. And, you know, you were hearing rumours going out before the match that potentially Billy Nolan could be the sweeper. And I was kind of saying, even, I'll be straight up to, I was kind of saying even Friday, saying, oh, genie, like, that's a big, big call. That's a ballsy call. And that's potential, I'll tell you what type of call that is now. That's a potential lose the dressing room call if it doesn't go your way. So to make that call and for it to work so well yesterday, you know, credit has to go to him. Because, you know, look, we've been quick to knock Davey over the course of the last couple of games. So, you know, and look, to be fair, I think, you know, that was probably justified in some of the decisions in the last couple of games. You know, with IE bringing Desi Hutchinson out around midfield, you know, Stan Darrell Lyons corner back, you know, bringing Prunty out as, you know, trying to win puck outs from full back. So look, I think yesterday was a big plus for him. You know, in regards, you know, probably, you know, if he's going to hold on to his job. And, you know, I don't think, you know, even if they lost yesterday, that it was probably going to be in my nature to come on and say we'll that David Fitzgerald should shouldn't be there for 2024. But because, you know, I've been there myself with Waterford under 21s and back in 2015, and, you know, I see the other side of it, where you can make mistakes and you're open to criticism, and that comes with inter-county management. So, and look, we didn't survive for another year off the back of making a couple of mistakes when we lost to Clare up in Ennis. So look, I think the thing for Davey is that when he reflects on the year, he will realise that, you know, and the overall scheme of things between both league and championship, you know, yesterday was a very good day, but when he breaks down the whole season as a whole, you know, he has to be open and honest within himself and say, well, you know what, I got things wrong, and I didn't help these players with some of my tactics this season. And the one player who struggled up to yesterday was the likes of Desi Hutchison. And we seen yesterday when you put Desi Hutchison back up top, you know, damage can be done inside. And you know, I still maintain he's the best corner forward in the country. And it's a simple thing. You put him back inside yesterday. You put young Patrick Fitzgerald in alongside him. You know, you see what can happen. And one player I thought was excellent yesterday was Mark Fitzgerald. He was my man of the match. My God, he was excellent. And look, a lot of the narrative out there in the last couple of weeks is that Waterford are, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of doldrum years to come down the road with Waterford, and that, you know, they've been pinpointing to their struggles underage, but there'll always be hurlers in Waterford. Like, there'll always be a strong Waterford senior hurling team. And I don't think, you know, we can get too bogged down on underage results, because I went to the Waterford Limerick game down in Farrer Fields this year under 20, and they were extremely unlucky to come away with a defeat that day against Limerick. So all Waterford need every year is to be unearthing two or three players off of these under 20 teams. I was on a minor team, you know, we didn't win any games at minor level. I came through the system. Owen Kelly came through the system. Owen McGrath came through the system. Seamus Pendergast. So I think for Waterford going forward, if we can still keep on earning two or three players every year, the likes of, like, as we did this year, the likes of, well, Mark Fitzgerald played last year, Mark Fitzgerald, Patrick Fitzgerald, if we can on earning another one or two next year, you know, that should be the main goal for Waterford, on earning two or three players every year. And I think that's the way to go forward, you know.
The only pity for Waterford is that this performance has probably come a bit late, but when you look at missing Jamie Byrne, missing Tadhg De Borca, missing Austin Gleeson, missing Conor Prunty, missing Shane McNulty, and a couple more, it's hugely, hugely heartening from a Waterford point of view, maybe going forward to next year. John, I might just get your reaction to a couple of comments. Davey, as he normally does, said a couple of thought-provoking things in the aftermath. I might just get your reaction to this. He just said, "It annoys me so much that you get cut the way we got cut after two bad matches. Some of the crap that I had to listen to the last few weeks is absolutely disgraceful and annoying. I'm in the job 5 months. You'd swear I was there 5 years. There's other managers there 3 or 4 years and have won zero and are not getting half the hassle. What is that about?" The first thing, just about the criticism within Waterford, like, surely when a team is really underperforming and particularly at county level, you're fair game for criticism.
Apparently, I touched on it there. Like that comes with the territory of inter-county management. You take the good with the bad. Yesterday was a very good day. You get the plaudits. You know, and I mean, the criticism, like, what criticism is the audio? Like the criticism for me, you know, the performances weren't criticism. Like I was up at the Kilkenny game, the league game, where we played with no full forward. You could have left after 45 minutes. It was horrible to watch now. It was hard. Now, look, it was a horrible day weather wise. But the hurling, the brand of hurling was horrible to watch. We gave him praise in the aftermath of the Limerick match. He got things right. But the Cork game, I was at the game down in Páirc Cuíve, and Waterford supporters that day, they could have left at half time. I mean, we registered, I think, our first score from play that day down in Cork came after 26 minutes. I think I'm right. It could have been 25, 26 minutes. the way we even set up that day. And then the Clare game, well, I was at a communion that day. Thankfully, I had a communion that day. You know, we can come out and say, look, you know, we had 16 shots today, or 8 or 9 shots. That's grand, but they're out the field. And again, it was pitiful stuff, like, to watch. Like, it was bad on the eye to watch. Now, yesterday, look, they performed yesterday. I think they were helped by how bad Tipperary were, how flat Tipperary were. But look, I go back to it. We touched on it. Does Davey have a plan B when things are going to go against the side? You know, if he is to be there for 2024, and that's the big question. Like it's all grand. You know, you keep playing a sweeper, and when you go ahead of teams and you're on the front foot, but when you're on the back foot, does he have a plan B? But to answer the question, like, I think there was an awful lot of frustration. There was an awful lot of anger. How the team were being set up, how the team were playing, and I just think, you know, I think he's overreacting with that type of commentary there, saying, you know, some of the stuff that was directed at him, a lot of it, you know, was warranted. And for me, if anything, I think, you know, does he need to go bring that on himself again? You know, if he's trying to get people back on his side, get bums back on seats, he should be nearly coming out and saying, well, you know what, lads, I got things wrong the last couple of weeks, but today was a good performance. And, you know, it's something to build on, and hopefully we can get the supporters back on our side. But I don't think he needs to be going down that area of, you know, it's them against us, or it's us against them. And, you know, bringing other managers into it, like, you know, again, who's he having a cut off of there?
Well, just on that, Mull, the only managers managing at inter-county level that are there 3 or 4 years are Brian Lowen and Darren Gleeson. So I think it's kind of obvious enough who he's taking a cut off. And there's probably no need for that either. And that's probably a sideshow that he doesn't need, or that probably Waterford don't need either, I would say.
No, and you know, you had the same thing with when he was down at Wexford. It was, Wexford, Clare, and the rivalry. Like, outside of 98, like, we've a great we've a great relationship with Clare. And, you know, when we go to face Clare next year in the league or the championship, like, we don't want any animosity going into those matches. Like the Waterford supporters and Clare fans, like, you know, they have a great understanding of you know, their journey of where they've come. And, you know, because when you break down the, you know, the five counties in Munster, you know, for large parts of hurling within the province across the decades, you know, Clare and Waterford have always been the poor relations. So I don't think you need to be going down that avenue of, you know, mentioning other managers or, you know, mentioning other counties. You know, that's something that leaves a kind of a sour taste with Waterford supporters, that, you know, we don't want to be brought into that type of stuff. Like, you know, so I think Davey's focus should be on Waterford, his team. What can he do to improve his team for 2024? And, you know, focus on himself, and don't be focusing on what's happening in other setups, or if this fella said this thing to me, or if that fella said this thing to me. You know, focus on himself and his players, and don't be dragging Waterford into it, because, you know, we don't want to be getting dragged into sideshows, because that has nothing to do with us, like, as a county.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of time for thought for Waterford over the next 6 or 7 months before they go back training. Tipperary have a couple of weeks to kind of circle the wagons a bit. They were missing Cottle Barrett yesterday through injury. Jake Morris as well. They're obviously playing Mayoan Offaly in the preliminary quarterfinal. And Dublin will play Carlow. We'll focus on Dublin in a second. But we probably talked last week about how Wexford were in a very, very precarious position, John. But they managed to get themselves out of it. And in fairly spectacular style, they've now beaten Kilkenny in the 17 championship, the 19 championship, the 2021 or 2022 championship, and the 2023 championship. I think Darragh Egan becomes the first Wexford manager since, I think, Tom Neville in 76 and 77 to get back-to-back wins over Kilkenny. Their need was great yesterday, and they delivered when it was there to be done.
Look, I don't want to be any disingenuous to any Westmeath supporters or the Westmeath team, but I'm so happy that Wexford have survived. It would have been a disaster for hurling as a whole if Wexford would have dropped down to Joe McDonagh Cup, second tier. But by gosh, did men stand up yesterday? And fairly, let me tell you, if you've ever been involved with a horrible type of pressure, those kind of games where, you know, it's all on the line, like the pressure, that was just a horrible type of pressure. I was involved in one myself back in 2015 with my own club, De La Salle. Ourselves and Liz Moore were in a relegation playoff back in 2015, and it was against Dan Shanna and Liz Moore, and the two of us would usually be contenders, but the two of us ended up, falling into the trap that Wexford fell into. How we fell into that trap, you know, we lost games that we possibly shouldn't have lost games. The only game we won that year was we beat Ballygunner in the group stage. That's the last time Ballygunner were beaten in club hurling, and we had to face Liz Moore, and I'll never ever forget it. The pressure going into that match. Every ball, you know, there's pressure going into finals and there's pressure playing in semi-finals. But when you know that you could be involved with a team that's going to send your club team down to intermediate level, or in Wexford's case, you know, the Joe McDonagh level or second tier level, that's a horrible feeling. It's a horrible different type of pressure to be under. And for those lads to stand up in the manner in which they done yesterday, and the manner in which, you know, it was squeaky bum time there, going into the last, 10 minutes of that match, they were 2 points down after such a slow start. The easiest thing for an awful lot of those Wexford players would have been to say, well, look, we're done. You know, we're throwing the towel. We'll accept that we're going to be playing second tier hurling next year, but they didn't. Who rolled up the sleeves? Chin rolled up the sleeves. Matthew Hanlon rolled up the sleeves. All their big guns roll up the sleeves. They got a big push out of off their bench. You know, their support has really got behind them. You know, they came out in their droves yesterday. And they got their just rewards, but you know, you cannot give enough credit for what those lads went through yesterday, and to be able to go and dig it out in the manner in which they did yesterday, you know, massive kudos to them. And the one kind of, you know, I suppose when they reflect on it and they look at how good they played yesterday and what they brought to the table under the level of pressure and the circumstances yesterday, that when they reflect on it and say, well, where has this Wexford team been the last couple of weeks? Because if they brought that level of performance to the table the last couple of weeks, they would have been in the Leinster final, and they would have been pushed on to go and win the Bob O'Keefe Cup. Look, for a lad like Darragh Egan, I can only imagine what he was going through the week. I can only imagine what the Wexford management were going through. I can only imagine what the Wexford players were going through throughout the week. And luckily enough, believe it or not, they were lucky in one sense that they were able to go straight away, that, you know, the defeat to Westmeath, the pain that they had was still within them. Because if that game was pushed out, just say if there was a 2 week break and it was pushed out by a fortnight, you know, you would have had last week, then you're going into this week, and you know, you're going into work, and You know, if people talking about the match and what are you going to do, and the drain comes with that, and they mightn't have been the kick in them if they were to play Kilkenny next week than there was yesterday. So yeah, massive quotas, you know. And I think the likes of Darry Egan, I'd like to see Darry Egan stay on. Like give him a third year. You know, as I said, he's had to beat Kilkenny twice within the space of 12 months. So that's no mean feat. But if I was the Wexford County Board, I think of the Wexford supporters, I'd stand behind them and say, you know what, we're going to give you an opportunity now to try and rectify the wrongs of this year and try and put things back on track for year three. And look, they were decimated with injuries as well. Fiercely unlucky with injuries. And look, if he can throw in a couple of those under 20 players next year, mixed in with the likes of the Chins, the Limo McGoverns, the Rory O'Connors who stood up yesterday, you know, they'll be a match for anyone again next year, you know.
Wexford obviously saved their bacon. That meant it all came down to the game in Cusack Park. Antrim got a big result against Westmead. You know, it's been a mad 7 days for Westmead, the biggest result in their history. And then they've ended up getting relegated on the back of that, which is hugely disappointing for Joe Fortune and the lads there. For Darren Gleeson and Antrim, after getting a draw against Dublin, I'd say they wouldn't have taken anything but retaining their status in Leinster, and they'll be happy. And from reading between the lines on social media, it kind of looks like maybe that might have been Neil McManus's last game. And if it is, what a soldier he's been to the Saffron men. But just to jump back to Kilkenny for a second, they're going into the Leinster final now against Galway. Galway had a remarkable turnaround against Dublin, coming from 12 down to go one up, and then Donald Burke drew the game with a brilliant free. It's a peculiar Leinster final, Mull, in the sense of two teams with probably still an awful lot of question marks around them. We're not exactly sure where either of them are.
Yeah, and I think there's going to probably, the pressure is probably, you know, probably possibly going to be ramped up on Derek Ling now. The fact that, you know, they threw away that lead against Galway, you know, didn't set the world alight against Dublin last weekend. You know, to lose to Wexford in the manner in which they lost to Wexford, you know, you wonder if Cody was over that team and they got ahead going into the latter stages of that match, would they have lost yesterday? So I think the Leinster final is going to be the acid test for Derek. Likewise, Henry, I think it's probably a Leinster final where both Henry and Derek will see that, you know, well, we have to go and win this Leinster final. You know, it's an easier pathway onto trying to claim Liam McCarthy. So I think, yeah, I think who's in the better position going into it? I would possibly say that probably Galway, in the manner in which they came back yesterday, they were finishing strong in that match. You know, if they can get a couple of their players back on the pitch, the likes of a Kyle Mannion, Brian Kincannon didn't start yesterday, Jason Flynn. We're hearing now that Kilkenny might be after picking up a couple of injuries yesterday. So I think probably Galway are probably better equipped, are probably in a better position to go and win the Leinster final. But look, Kilkenny, you can never write them off in a final. Seen that last year, they got beaten by Wexford and they pushed on and they won the Bob O'Keefe Cup and they beat Galway comprehensively in that final, and they pushed on and they beat Clare comprehensively in the All-Ireland semi-final. So look, you can't write Kilkenny off, write them off to your poll. But if you were to ask me who's in the stronger position as of now going into this Leinster final, I would say Henry Shefflin and Galway.
As you said, looking like Adrian Mullen is going to be out, and Mikey Butler as well. Just last word on Dublin, Mull. Brilliant performance, probably for 50-55 minutes. Had Galway, they had them at sixes and sevens. The fact that they were one down and drew the game probably means that they take a good bit out of it, whereas if they'd lost, it would have been a bit of a disaster. But definitely signs that Micheál Donoghue is building something nice in Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I couldn't get over the result at half-time in such a commanding position that we're in. But they were excellent in that first half. The big players came to the fore again. Owen O'Donnell, Donald Burke, I mean, wow, what a player this lad is. You know, Danny Sutcliffe was excellent. And look, it was only to be expected that Galway were going to come with a purple patch in the second half. But look, the way they look at it, you know, Galway came at that problem to hatch, but the way they reacted, responded when they fell behind, they were able to win a free, and Donal Burke was able to step up and knock that ball over the bar. And I think Greg Fella has to go to Niall Donoghue in choosing Croagh Park as well. I think Croagh Park actually suits this Dublin team. And even going forward, I think maybe something they maybe might look at next year in the round robin is kind of have their games in Croagh Park as a double header with the footballers, because you know if they're playing before the footballers, there seems to be more of a Dublin support that you know are going to the football, but are saying to themselves, well, you know what, hold on now a minute, we're going to go in and support the supporters as well, and I think that gives them a massive lift. But look, they're after finishing third. If you told me Hall Dunne and his management team before the ball was even thrown in that, you know, you're going to finish third, you're going to be in the All-Ireland series, considering the personnel that have left the squad this year and have gone travelling, he would have taken the arm and the leg off it. But look, they've got to be on their guard now. They go down to Dr. Colin Park, Carlo. We've seen it, 4 years ago against Laois. You know, they got the job done. They got into the top three and they got overturned by Laois. So they've got to be on their guard. They've got to come with a performance. To come with a performance, they should be Carlo. But as an overall, I think Micheál Donoghue has done a very good job there to date. And look, if you can get some of those guys back next year, it'll make him even stronger again, you know, for 2024.
That's brilliant, Mullen. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to John Milan for joining me. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.